To you, it's just a game. For me, it's all I know. I make them remember my name before I have to go. Losing, I can't fathom. That's a champion's passion. Confidence never lacking. Drop the beat, let's attack them. They be checking for the content. You tired of that nonsense. No gimmicks, break limits. Quality is our promise. This is more than a show. This is a way of life. Cause the game, as it grows, takes us to higher heights. Check the stats before you check me. And don't tell me who the greatest if you don't know the history. Robert Ramon and Carl Close, the new big three, and if the opinions ain't from them, don't bring them to me, cause I go off like a rocket launcher. Man, I just ate the beat, I'm a real monster. I can hear the crowd chanting MVP, that's my mantra. Here's a standing on for the opinionated bench warmers.
Welcome to the Opinionated Benchwarmers Podcast, episode 159. Your Opinionated Benchwarmers are back to do what we do best, and that's discuss sports. Got the whole team in here today. Fellas, how y'all feeling today, man?
Feeling better, man. Feeling good. It's just been a weird week. You know, I think we're wrapping up the agency. We got a lot of stuff going on with the NBA right now. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Ready to do it.
Same, man. Feeling good. It's been a pretty interesting week thus far, just with a lot of stuff going on in the midst too. I was trying to tell you off camera a little bit low, but I'm trying to check out your trade proposal now. So we in the midst of trying to do a little bit of business as well too in our dynasty league. But besides that, man, it's been a pretty good day. A lot of interesting stuff going on sports wise. So I'm not gonna hold it, man. We might as well get straight into it.
Yeah, let's jump into it. First off, I want to let everybody know they can follow us on @O_Benchwarmers on Twitter and Instagram. And then also make sure that you are subscribed to the podcast. That's how you can make sure that you're notified as soon as the content drops. We've been dropping consistently. We're going to continue to drop consistently. So we appreciate all the love and support out there. But I'm not going to get in the way. I'm going to let my brother stand in here. Since last time we recorded, some big news dropped, a big name retired. None other than defensive tackle Aaron Donald after 10 years with the Rams, man. He been through it, man. That boy was with the Rams back in St. Louis. So, you know, Los, I ain't going to stand in the way, man. I want to hear the reaction.
Yeah, I mean, I think like the rest of the world, there's been chirps and rumors. Like I follow a lot of a Rams podcast, and they've been kind of, a lot of insiders and beat writers have been kind of hinting at it all offseason that, hey, this might be it. We don't know. I'm like, yeah, he say this every offseason, right? He's been saying this since after the Super Bowl. And so, you know, I didn't really put any too much stock into it because I just didn't believe that he would give it up because he's still relatively young. He's still playing at a high level, still, you know, only 32 years old. In your mind, you think this guy is going to play forever, you know. It's just like all the greats, you know, you just see them play, you just take it for granted until one day they decide like, hey, I want to do something else, you know. Selfishly as a fan, you want them to play forever, you want to see this. We've been so used to it. I mean, a decade of watching this, you know, it's one of those things where you just never thought you can't even remember a time without the Rams being without him on the team, you know what I mean? So, you know, it was a tough day. It took me – I'm glad we took a week off last week, you know, because this has probably been a lot raw. But I had a week to kind of digest it all and kind of come down off on it and just say, you know, hey, it's, you know, it is time. And he went out on top, you know, of his game. And, you know, he's going to be missed. And, you know, you can't replace a guy like that.
Hey, man, all the listeners, if you just podcast – again, Los is a huge Rams fan. He's probably the one that I've ever known. He's been a Rams fan since I've known him, and I've known him pretty much half of my life. And, you know, I'm talking about in the St. Louis days. So he's a true diehard Rams fan. So I knew that he took it hard, you know. So it's nice to hear that raw emotion just now. You know, my feelings on it, Aaron Donald, I mean, I think that he did it the right way. 10 seasons with 8 All-Pros. He has a Super Bowl ring, 2-time Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, I think he's done it all. Like he eloquently spoken. I think that, you know, he's able to walk out on top. He's able to walk out with all his limbs, no major injuries. And then he has a beautiful family, so now he can spend more time with them. He's made his money. I mean, I think he's done it the model way. Get in, get your money, be regarded as the best to ever play your position and get out. No doubt he's a first
And get a
prospect.
championship. I want to add and get a championship. So,
Yeah, I said
oh, I missed that part.
that.
Yeah, sure. Conveniently missed.
And no doubt, I mean, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. So I mean, I don't think he has any more to give to the game. I mean, outside of that, he did it right. I think a model of his career would be like Barry Sanders. He gave it 10 years to the Lions, but he had a lot of success up front early in his career, and he never was able to get back to that pinnacle. And he decided to hang it up. And of course, with him, he didn't get a Super Bowl ring. So shout out to Aaron Donald. Shout out to the Rams. Shout out to all the quarterbacks feeling safe for a year, because there's nobody that's going to be dominant that opposed the threat that Aaron Donald posed when he was on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I think y'all pretty much already kind of stated it. Y'all kind of left me with the scraps on this one, honestly. But I will still ultimately say too, man, in reflecting on his career, honestly, I put him as a top two D tackle of all time. I think that when you look at what he accomplished, him in top three, you got him top three, I got him top two. Yeah,
We
see, I got
on
two.
the same page. I thought I
Him
heard
and
top
Reggie.
three. I'm hearing a lot of things today. My
Yeah,
bad.
nah, you
Go
hear me?
ahead.
Yeah, I think
Hilarious.
top two
Yeah,
for me.
top two. Him and Reggie White for me.
Yeah, I mean, Reggie was a beast. So I mean, yeah, I definitely am my. But to witness his entire career from front to back, the best defensive player I've ever seen.
Yeah, I agree with
You
that.
know.
Best defensive player I've seen, like actually just purely watching. I mean, and when you think of the all-time greats, of course, as we mentioned, Reggie White, and you think of going beyond that and not just the tackles, you think of your Lawrence Taylors of the world and guys of that class, and he fits into those conversations. He can sit at those tables, and doesn't take a step back really from anybody. It's not that he's necessarily below or a class below anyone. He sits at the highest class at the highest table. It's literally just kind of opinion based at that point of who you think is the guy.
And before we get too far into this thing, I did regretfully was dismissive of this, but thoughts and prayers out to the people in Baltimore for the tragedy that happened and the families that were affected by that incident, and that's the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge this morning. So thoughts and prayers. I can only imagine if I was a part of that in any type of way. So we definitely don't want to forget our folks and listeners in Baltimore, and shout out to them, and just wanted to say thoughts and prayers out to them. But guys, I mean, if we're done with Aaron Donald, I have some great news, some great news off of Aaron Donald. I know, Lowe's, that Aaron Donald has retired. I know that you're feeling down in the dumps. But on the flip side, the New Orleans Saints had a huge signing of Chase Young, who's also a defensive end, and he has signed with the Saints.
Yeah, cool.
Crickets.
Y'all some haters, man. Y'all not gonna react to that, man?
I mean, you lobbed it up, so it sounds like to me like you're ready to have a big time reaction to it. So I don't want to steal the floor from you. You seem like you're very excited over there.
Well, I mean, I will say this. I was surprised that we was able to win that sweepstakes since the last time we recorded. When we recorded last, it was reported that it was he was vi making his visits to the Panthers, and us, and I didn't think we had a shot in the dark. So I mean, it's a huge signing. I think we have a lot of holes to fill. Ramchick news came out, with his knee not healing like we thought it would. He may not be ready for camp. So, it's a lot of holes to fill. I think ultimately, if our offensive play calling is as hard as it was last year, I don't think we have a shot. But of course, we did hire on Kubiak, so I'm excited about that to see what we look like. But yeah, Chase Young, huge, huge, huge signing. He's from up here from where I'm living, and not far from where I live at in the DMV area. So we happy to have him on a 1-year deal. I think it's a high risk, high reward. He is. It was reported that he's having surgery, but he will be ready at the start of the season. So I'm excited about it. I think that it does help our defense, him and Cam Jordan, that combination. I think Cam still has a lot in the tank. And we still, of course, have DeMario Davis coming off of all pro season. So I think that it's a good hole that we filled up. We needed some help. We needed to get some pressure. We was at the bottom of the league in sacks last year. So hopefully Adding a guy like him, he was a former number two pick. He's still relatively young. I think he's like 24, 23. So, I think that we got a guy that's gonna make an impact this season. So I'm excited. I know Los don't have much to say about it. He doesn't like to see us get any wins, but I think that this is a huge win after an otherwise quiet offseason for the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, like you said, and quickly looking at it, the only potential red flag, kind of course, that's been mentioned and alluded to is just the injury history there. If he can remain healthy and if he's a guy that can remain consistently on the field, he's a guy with tremendous upside. You've been able to see that since his days, as you mentioned, at Ohio State, where he was dominant there. You've seen flashes of it as he's been in the league. And so you can obviously see the potential. And to me, it was a worthy risk that the Saints went and took in going after him and getting him. You just got to make sure that he'll be able to stay on the field.
Yeah, and I'll just say shortly, I mean, you guys did win the sweepstakes, and I continue to be baffled where the Saints continue to find money at with their money issues they have. But
Hey, mind your
anytime you
business.
give a guy that has injury history as he does, a fully guaranteed contract, he'll be a fool not to take that type of deal. So again, that makes sense, especially with him pending surgery. All that makes sense of why now you guys won the sweepstakes for him.
Absolutely. So moving right along, of course, the owners are doing that yearly meeting, annual meeting, coaches meeting, and of course, obviously, there's been some changes. The NFL will look a little different than we're used to, and it starts off with the kickoff. The beginning of our games will look a lot different than it did last year. The NFL has voted unanimously through the owners. No, it wasn't unanimous. It was actually all but two owners voted in favor, which is overwhelmingly the majority. But now the NFL has shifted to a hybrid kickoff. Do one of you guys want to explain what a hybrid kickoff is?
Yeah, so the kickoff has changed, and they're actually still in the XFL kickoff, right? The XFL actually tested this out last year and had huge success with it. It's basically pretty much the team kicks off the ball and nobody can move. The kickoff team, nobody but the kicker can move and the returner can move, right, until the ball is touched. Once the ball is touched, then everybody can move. And it's the players are positioned differently as well. They aren't necessarily as far back as they once were. And I think the NFL is trying to take off those full speed, collisions on the kickoff, but they didn't necessarily want to take away the excitement of the kickoff as well, just exiting out the game, which we've seen a lot this year with a lot of teams just doing touchbacks. And they even added the fair catch, right, where you get a fair catch, you get moved to the 25, I believe the 25 or the 30. And so they didn't want to totally eliminate the kickoff because it is an exciting play, but they did want to add some safety to it. I like it. I think it was successful in the XFL, and I think it'll be successful in the NFL.
Yeah, no, he completely explained it. Like you said, this will definitely lead, obviously, to that uptick of this play really coming back. I think they said only about 21% of kickoffs, or 21 to 22% of kickoffs, were actually returned this season, and so that was the lowest that we've seen in a really long time, and I think probably in league history. So this will bring, as you mentioned, the excitement back. The only thing to me, the negative that I do see there, is I hate what it's going to do, obviously, to onside kicks. You have to basically announce ahead of time that you're going to have an onside kick so that they can change the formation to allow you to be able to do the onside kick. So it takes that element of surprise away there. Obviously, it doesn't impact onside kicks as much at the end of games when you expect it, but it impacts situations such as y'all Super Bowl, Rob, when Sean Payton had that decision at the beginning of the second half to go with that onside kick, and that changed the potential outcome of that game. So you won't have more of those scenarios where it's the element of surprise on onside kicks. It will have to be announced beforehand.
Yeah, and just to add more context, Los eloquently explained it completely, but just to add some definitive numbers around it, the kicks are still from the 35. Like Los explained, the rest of the kicking team lines up on the pole, just 40-yard line. And the receiving team lines up nine players between their 30 and 35 with two returners. So it is a model Oh, if you want to look it up, YouTube it. XFL tinkered with this last season as we saw how they kick off, and that's what the NFL intends to do. My opinion on it, I really feel as though anything to make that play more to add some more action to it, I think that it's a good move to encourage kickers to come out of to encourage kicks to be returned. I think that the kick returner position, it will more value be added to that position. I like it. As far as the reporting on the onside kick, I do not like it from a strategic standpoint. I think that the onside kick was almost damn near impossible to recover anyway. But having the report, it just makes it almost just like, what's the point of it? You might as well just remove the play altogether. But I do think this is a good move for the NFL. I do think that we will see a little bit more action on kickoffs. Maybe I don't share the opinion of a lot of folks, but I kind of do like the rule change. I mean, I thought it was quite interesting in the XFL, and we heard rumblings early on that the NFL would switch to this, and now it's official. It will be switched. So, if you're listening to us, understand that the kickoff will look a little different when you're looking at the Hall of Fame game, which will be the first game of the season. So the second rule that we have been reported out of the meeting is that the trade deadline will be moved from week 8 to week 9. I mean, react.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's beautiful. This is one of the rules that like the kickoff, I do like as well. Because last year we seen with an extended season, right? That trade line, keeping that trade deadline right there, a lot of teams still felt like they were in the hunt, right? They still felt like they had a chance, and so they weren't as active, or there weren't enough sellers at the trade deadline. And when you have that in play, you got a lot of teams buying, thinking they got a chance at getting into the tournament, and then it creates a boring trade deadline that we saw last year. So I think the further back, the better. You give a more clear picture of what these teams know, where they're going to be in the standings. They know where they're going to fall as far as if they got a shot. The further back, the better, especially with extending the season and making the season longer. So I like it. I'm all for it.
Yeah, another major add there. Not, a huge difference for me. Echo the same sentiments, really.
Yeah, it doesn't really move the needle there, but I will say this, as we transition into the next topic that came out of the meeting, of course, that the NFL will continue to have Christmas games. We know as NBA fans, as we all sit on this podcast, we know what the numbers were. The NFL experimented with it this, well, they've been doing it for a couple of years, but I think this year, after 85 million views compared to 14 million in the NBA, it's quite apparent that they had a real successful run at having games on Christmas Day. And even though it's going to be Wednesday, they're going to have two Christmas games on Wednesday. I mean, it kind of does scare me a little bit. I mean, I've joked on this podcast a bunch. We all have about how the NFL is trying to steal the NBA's thunder a little bit. Obviously NFL is a very popular sport. Obviously it's one of the more popular sports in the country. But the NBA had its little things that separated it from the rest of the sports. And one thing is free agency. One thing is trade deadlines. One thing is that Christmas Day, that is the day of basketball that everybody's sitting around watching basketball. And that's the NBA's version of what Thanksgiving is to football. But now football has invaded on that. They've extended their season a couple games, two games at this point over the last few years. And now it's going into Christmas, and now it's almost as if maybe the NBA is getting shut out because of the popularity. But I just wanted to react kind of to that. It makes me sad. And as a football fan, as an NFL fan as well, it's kind of bittersweet because I feel like the NBA and its popularity was heading in the right track. But I feel like, I mean, I don't know what they're gonna do. I mean, as the NBA, we're losing out on the All-Star game. It's not even competitive. We hear the commissioner saying, hey, they may experiment with doing international play versus in U United States players, to make this All-Star game more competitive. Again, another night where the NBA has its own. But on every end of the spectrum, it seems like the NFL is trying to monopolize the market. And it's no secret. And I don't, I don't know how, I don't know how I feel about it. I don't really like it as an NBA fan, but I mean, we have to face it. If you don't move with the times, then, you get left in the dark.
Yeah, I mean, the football has already been dominating. I think you killed that because NBA, that was Christmas was their day, and it's like you said that the NFL is right now saying, hey, we as we've seen the cap go up, right? The 20 mil cap, they went up 20 mil. The salary cap went up this year because of these TV deals, right? So they have to continue to put and dominate all these different major holidays with these TV deals, the salary cap going to continue to raise. And so, from an entertainment standpoint, NFL is going to always dominate, in my opinion. But, it is sad, though. I wish they would kind of give the NBA some breathing room.
Man, forget that, man. It's business. And with business comes, man, you forget whatever it means to other
Yeah,
leagues, anything like that. You
for
got to do
sure.
what's in the best interest of your league. And so that's honestly what I feel the NFL is doing. Like you said, from the outside looking in, obviously a lot of people, even though we pay attention to the NBA the whole season, the general public really almost views the NBA kickoff as like Christmas Day. That's when they feel I can start kind of tuning in a little bit. NFL is waning down. But now with the NFL taking that, like you said, that makes that even a tougher launch for the NBA, which is going to have to make the NBA be very creative in how they approach things. And I trust Adam Silver to be able to kind of find some things that'll still work out. But at the end of the day, man, business is business. And so the NFL, they got to do what they got to do. And when you have a
Standing on
chance to
business.
be, yep, standing on business, and when you have a chance to be that monopoly in any type of aspect or a chance to corner the market, you have to do it.
Well, Ramon, I mean, I took you as an NBA guy, man. Whose side are you on, man?
I mean, I like the
Yeah,
NBA, man, but as
I
you know, we all on this
mean,
call, we all businessmen as well too, and so I gotta respect the business moves too.
it is a sad thing. I love the NBA. I'm an NBA loyalist, so I ain't going nowhere. So I strategically boycotted the NFL this year. Now they had some good matchups, so I did watch, but I still made sure that I gave NBA some air time. So the early games, obviously the Knicks, the noon game, watching NBA, and then of course my Lakers, and then of course that 3 o'clock primetime game. I'm always gonna watch NBA. So sprinkling in between, I watch the NFL too as well. Oh, a
But
trade has been
I'm trying to
completed.
see if you I'm trying to
Is
see
this
if you
y'all?
yeah I'm trying to see if you fully standing on business there though, because you talking about splitting between, but glad that you can go ahead and said it, man. You might as well let the airways know.
Wow. Okay. So we got Josh Downs, a 2025 third round pick. And then Los will get Calvin Ridley. So that's a pretty solid deal. Of course, with Ramon being an Indianapolis Colts fan, I think that that made it all sweet and opportunity to get another pick in this upcoming Dynasty draft. For all we have the Black Mamba Dynasty League that we're all a part of. And that's where the trade took place. So, I mean,
Yeah, I mean, to he countered my deal. My original deal was a second and a third for him, and he pretty much it was the same type of deal because I got Downs in the second round last year and a third. So he just pretty much got a player that he wanted, a young receiver if he wanted to go the young route, and a third round pick to sprinkle in there as well. So I think overall solid deal. I think this is news, huge news, because I think this is the first trade me and Ramon ever did. So I just wanted to say,
it's
we finally
crazy.
got a deal done
Are
before
we
the
gonna
season
record the
started.
podcast business? We say we business, man. Put the business aside. We got a podcast to record, gentlemen.
It's just crazy, man. We talked about it at the beginning of the pod, laid it off a little bit, just to kind of tease them a little bit, and then just drop the news in the middle. So.
And we're not making this up. This literally just happened, notification. But let's get back on track here. So if you guys with the NFL and everything, we're wrapping up on that end. I did want to discuss Giants owner just saying how upset and salty he is that Saquon went to Philly, rightfully so. But ultimately the Giants, in their feelings toward Daniel Jones and where their franchise is going, I really don't blame Saquon for wanting to get out of there. Daniel Jones entering into his fifth year in the league. At this point, he is what he is. And he has been nothing more. He's had his ups and downs. He's shown flashes, But he's not a young buck any. He's not a rookie anymore. He's not on this proving atmosphere. And I feel like if you know, Saquon's like, this is my quarterback. I'm gonna waste the prime. We all know that running backs' lifelines are short. Am I gonna waste my prime when you guys are doing nothing, literally nothing to boost our offense and literally nothing to add on? And you got a Daniel Jones, and you even have the owner now saying reluctantly back and forth. The beginning of this week or late last week, he was saying that he believes in Daniel Jones. He expects him to be the starter. And then I think I saw reports yesterday that they're reporting that the owner is saying, hey, you know, I am in support of the team going after a quarterback early in this upcoming draft, which we know the this draft has some nice quarterback talent in it. So, I mean, ultimately, I just want to react to the fact that of Saquon's decision. I think it becomes more clear, you know, in how they treated Saquon. They reluctantly wanted to pay him. They tagged him last year. And, you know, I think that the owner kind of put his foot in his mouth, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, you just can't. Yeah, I think it you just the way they handled everything, it's just it was not smooth at all. And you just look at him coming out, the owner of the Giants coming out and saying he feel a certain way, or it hurt that, you know, Saquon signed with the rival Eagles. You know what I mean? So just seeing that and going to the division, but money talks. As we talk, you know, business is business. You know, and Saquon said he went where the money's at. You know, it's no loyalty in this, you know, and there's no loyalty when it comes to these players getting traded in the middle of the night, you know. And so these guys, I really applaud them for doing what's best for them and going out and getting securing the bag on a good team. You know, let's not mention the Eagles were just a year removed from being in the Super Bowl. So he got paid and went to a good team. You can't beat that. Forget if it's in the division. You know, you didn't want to pay me. So, all right. You know, Saquon has said over and over that he wanted to be a Giant. He wanted to retire a Giant. The money obviously wasn't there.
Yeah, y'all already stated it, man. And I just think about it just sheerly, even what y'all were talking about from the fit there, you know. Honestly, every kind of way, whether you talk about everything that went on with the Giants and how things did materialize long term and all that, you know, I look at the fact of the matter of look at what DeAndre Swift did over there last year. Look at what he was able to do when you plugged him in. So take a guy like Saquon that I don't know if I want to speak for all y'all, but I think we would say that Saquon is a better talent than DeAndre Swift.
Then why you put him on the trade block just now? In the dynasty league, why you put him on the trade block?
To get assets, you know, obviously some things might be kind of changing as it relates to my team, my dynasty team. So I'm being flexible
Armand
right now.
going in full tank mode right now. He rebuilding.
It depends, man. I'm just saying, putting the fillers out there for it. But
back to your point. My bad.
yeah, no.
We've invaded this pile
Yeah,
with our
you
dynasty.
got everybody wondering. Like, we're gonna have to actually like show them something. Actually, like drop it on the social media, or something to give them some insight,
Yeah.
additional insight into the league. But you know, as y'all already pretty much covered it, like I said. But he went somewhere too. That's just an excellent fit for him. So all the way around, it was a smart move. He, as a running back, got paid, which we talked about the market being terrible for running backs for the last couple years or so. And so it just made sense all the way around. And you can forget what previous ownership, management, all that, whatever they had to say, like forget that, man. He got to move forward.
I mean, I think he made the right decision. And, you know, not only does he get to take a crack at his team twice a year, I think is awesome. But on the flip side of that, he's going into offense where he's not the clear focus. You know, when you look at the Giants right now, of course they drafted a talented receiver out of Tennessee, Jalin Hyatt, which I still believe that he's gonna be good. But you know, outside of that, the focal point of the Giants offense was Saquon. If it wasn't Saquon catching it out the backfield, if it wasn't him running up the middle, the defense was able to zero in on him. Now you got Jalen Hurts. You got a running back, I mean, quarterback that can run as effective. You got, of course, AJ Brown. You have the Slim Reaper out there, who's one of my favorite receivers in the league. Dang it, why can't I remember his real name? Slim Reaper. Come on, help me out. He's a come on, man. He went to Bama, man. DeVonta Smith.
Devontae Smith,
Come
yeah.
on, man. Yeah, bruh. Y'all used to be the one to remind me of the name. I gotta ask y'all for help and remind myself of the name. Come on, man.
Try to punish
But
us for not bailing you out.
yeah. But Devontae Smith, and you know, it is a high powered offense, and now Saquon can just, it's not so much pressure on him to do so well, but he will do well, and he won't have to take on all the pressure, and he will, you know, he won't have to at this point in his career, which he's not old, but for a running back, he's in his prime. You know, so I think he made the right decision. I wish the owner would stop blowing smoke. He know he didn't handle the situation right. The Giants as a franchise, they always make poor decisions. Who am I? Is the pot calling the skillet black? Maybe so as a Saints fan, as far as a franchise and their handling of star players and their franchise. But the reality of it is that, you know, the Giants make some questionable decisions. But as we move into the NBA here, though, the NBA, we're moving down to the last 15 plus games. And as Lakers fans, we're sitting at 9 right now. We came off a great performance of just beating the Pacers. At this point, we got what we have. How many games we got left? I think we got like
We got
maybe 10,
10.
10
10.
games left. What guy? I want to know what you guys think our record is going to be down the stretch. And are we stuck at 9, which will mean we'll be in the play-in? And I think at 9, you have to actually play two games, right? You have to win twice to get into the playoffs, as opposed of winning once. Which I don't like that 9 spot at all. I really want us to get that 6 spot. Now, there is a long shot that we could get to the 6 spot, but we need a lot of help. First of all, we need the Kings to just go on this terrible losing streak, because we won't. We of course they swept us this year. We're 0-4 against the Kings this year, so they do own the tiebreaker. So we need to actually to lose more than us, and we obviously need to continue to win. As we record this and as you hear this, we probably already beat and played, but tonight we play the Bucks, which is a tough matchup without LeBron. But I just want to know, down the stretch, what do you think that record's going to be starting tonight with the last 10 games for the Lakers?
I mean, I look at it. You obviously want to have one of those 7 or 8 spots, right? You know, you got to win once, at least one of those spots. You got to win once and you're in. And you know, at the 9 spot, it's just not a comfortable spot. You got to win, beat the 10 seed, and then you got to beat the loser of the 7 and 8. You know, and so it's your 2 wins, as you mentioned. You know, I look down the stretch, 10 games. I say we finish those 10 games 7 and 3. You know, I think they are motivated enough to do it, but I don't know if that's enough, right? They are 3 games ahead of us. We got, like you said, the tiebreaker is not in play, so we have to outright beat them. And so 7 and 3 is I think what we will go. You know, but who's I think tonight is gonna says a lot, you know, about these Lakers. They are down, like you mentioned, playing without LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, so down the stretch, just to give you an idea, we got the Bucks tonight. We got Memphis. We got the Pacers, the Nets, the Raptors, the Wizards, the Cavaliers, the Timberwolves, Golden State again, which is a massive game. Then we got the Grizzlies again. Then we got New Orleans, which is a tough game. So when I look at this with 11 games left, I agree with you, Los. I think that we I think that tonight would be a tall task to win without LeBron. And then I'm looking at the Timberwolves. I feel like the Grizzlies, the Pacers, we beat once. I think we could do it again. The Nets, the Raptors, the Wizards should be easy. The Cavs should be a win. And Golden State will be tough, which I think we probably would drop. So, yeah, I mean, when you're looking at it, I think we go 9-2 down the stretch. I think we beat New Orleans and the Grizzlies to wrap up the season. But yeah, like I share with you, and I agree. And I think you can't wait until this point of the season to say that I want to win games and have a sense of urgency. I think it's a reason why we're a number 9 seed right now. You know, it's because we have been so inconsistent. And I think that you're looking at a team that I think is not well coached. We've been saying that all season long. And I think that we're looking at a team where LeBron is 39 years old. We can't expect him to carry us anymore. And I think that we need more from AD, in which we need more performances like last game. If he's not giving me 35 and 12, I don't want to hear it. He should be at this point where he's giving us 35 plus a night and 12 rebounds. And until he gets on that level and that a level of aggressiveness, then we're not going to be a competing team, a contending team. So.
Yeah, no, I think y'all have already stated it. I don't have a lot to add to that. I would say probably over that 11 game stretch, I really have us sitting at 8-3. Hopefully, like you said, that can cause us to move up and not have to do that play the two games, but honestly, I don't really have a lot of optimism to get up to the sixth, as you were saying. I think we recorded a podcast weeks ago. It might have been a month ago, and we talked about similar things. And I was already saying at that point, I don't really see the sixth seed. So I think that we will be in the play-in. We are familiar with the play-in at this point.
Again, something that LeBron said was stupid, and
right.
has allowed him to make the playoffs, continue to make the playoffs, and add to his legacy. I find that ironic.
Yeah, so but I see an 8-3 record, which I think has a chance to push us up just a smidge. So,
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at the standings. We got the Suns in front of us. It seems like they're free balling. So I mean, we could potentially pass them. I like Dallas. Dallas is at seven, and Sacramento is at six as it stands right now. But what about those Pelicans, man? I mean, you're hearing reports that since All-Star, Zion has lost 25 pounds. And I don't know if you've been watching some Pelicans games, but he's playing like we expected him to play, being that number one pick coming out of college. He's passing the ball well. He's finally rebounding. He's being aggressive scoring, playing well defensively, and really putting that team, really the team, making them a different team because they have a lot of talent. I've seen them in person with BI and CJ and then you look at their role players are really good as well. But yeah, man, what do y'all think about Zion? And do you think Zion will continue this type of play going forward as playoffs around the corner?
I'm sorry, the Rams just signed Tre'Davious White, and so I was just excited about that. I know this is not a Rams podcast, but I just wanted to
Yeah,
say, but I'm
he's a
excited. I'm bad. I just caught that off camera live.
this
Yeah,
whole pod is breaking news.
I know what's going on. But no, Zion, I have been watching a Pelican game, and he has been impressive. He's been unstoppable to the rim. And I, with all the stuff that was kind of hanging over his head and the stuff that was happening at the beginning of the season, you guys can do the research with the adult filmmaker that he was dealing with. I'll see it that way. All the things that was going on with that, and for him to answer like he's been answering and showing up, he's looking like that guy that we seen in his rookie year, before he the injuries and things started. So I've been impressed with him, and he's been fun to watch.
Yeah, nah, echo the same sentiments, man. I think that he'll keep it rolling. Honestly, he's been playing great basketball. Seems to be, in even better shape than we've seen him kind of in recent times. And so, only thing, man, I hope he can continue it. Zion is a guy that comes from obviously Duke, so I've rooted for him for a while. And I root for his success, honestly.
Yep. So, I mean, as the playoffs wind down, I want to ask you guys real quickly as we wrap up here. I know we have our bracket challenge going on, but are you still confident in your University of Houston pick to win it all?
Yeah, I would say yeah, man.
Even
Houston
after
looks,
this past game, the
I
overtime?
mean, yeah, the overtime Texas A&M, I think they played the same brand of basketball, which made it weird because they both were just rough. They were both mixing it up, and they both but Houston survived. Houston
Yeah.
survived. They were leading that game at the end with like 2 minutes to go, and just Texas A&M, credit to them, just went on the hot streak. So I feel good about their pick. I feel good about me beating you guys in the bracket. So we'll see how it turns out.
Real quickly, remind us we wrap up.
Yeah, no, I still don't lose confidence. The tournament is crazy. It's always up and down, so you can't lose confidence just by on one close game. So
I
that's
agree, and I got UConn winning it all, and I'm still confident in their pick. They look like the best team in the field right now, looking like an NBA team. Anyway, thank you for holding up with us this long. Thank you for we covered a lot. We appreciate all the love and support. Make sure you follow us on @O_BenchWarmers on Twitter and Instagram, and make sure that you are subscribed to the podcast. That's how you can be notified when we drop content. And until next time, we out of here.